As you heard Sarah read, ever since the King James Version, this has been listed as Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. But that isn't in the earliest manuscripts, and there has been disagreement about this since the earliest days of the church. Some thought, well, this must be Paul. He wrote a lot of other letters. On the other hand, there were those who thought, no, it was Barnabas. Because after all, it's a letter encouraging people. It's a letter of encouragement, and Barnabas means son of encouragement. There were others who thought it was written by Apollos. Apollos, we don't know a whole lot about, but he's mentioned in the other letters. So this has gone on since the earliest days of the church. But quite frankly, while that might interest scholars, I don't think it's all that important who wrote it. I think it's much more important why they wrote it and the kind of imagery and language they use. If you listen to this particular part of the text, the image that's primary here is the image of a race. The Greek word is agon, which from which we get agony, okay? It could apply to any sporting event, and those of you who have played sports, you know there's some agony involved in that, right? But this clearly refers to a race because the word run is used. Now, it's a little bit odd because if this is indeed a letter to the Hebrews, the Jewish people didn't tend to take part in athletics in the ancient Greco-Roman world. That was because the athletic events were held with the participants in the nude. And Jewish folks felt it was shameful to be naked, and so they wouldn't participate. But since it was a part of the larger culture, they surely knew about it. The second thing that's rather odd about this race is that as it's described, first place has already been taken. Jesus has crossed the finish line, is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, the one who pioneered and went first, the one who did it most completely, more completely than we ever can. That pioneer and perfecter of our faith has finished that race, so the first place trophy is taken. But the writer encourages us to keep running. That's a little odd because I know in that culture and in our culture, first place was everything. I mean, after that, what's second place? I think Vince Lombardi very famously said, second place is like kissing your sister, something like that, right? Third place, also rans. The only thing that counts is coming in first. And yet in this race, it's described in a completely different fashion. Anyone who finishes the race wins. But you have to finish the race with integrity. This community is going through some sort of struggle. And in that struggle, this letter was written to say, hang on, endure. Don't give up, and don't leave the path of integrity, because that's the way you finish the race, and everyone who crosses the finish line wins. Now, that seems odd to us, doesn't it? I used to think, and for many years have thought, that the finish line was death. And that Jesus had crossed the finish line, crossed death into new life. And I think that is part of it. I think that's part of what's going on here. But very recently, I started thinking that there might be something else going on here. Because you see, I don't think Jesus had to wait until the crucifixion to cross the finish line. I think the moment he decided he was going to do what God called him to do, no matter what the repercussions, no matter what the consequences, he had already crossed the finish line. It was when he made that decision and held to that decision, the race was won. And so that's what applies to us, it seems to me. As soon as we decide, I'm going to run this race with the kind of integrity that God calls me to have, I'm going to follow and be a part of what God is calling me to do, and it doesn't matter if anybody likes it. After all, in Jesus' case, the religious authorities didn't like it. The Roman Empire didn't like it. His followers didn't like it. His family didn't like it. And yet he did it anyway because it was what God had called him to do. So as soon as we make that decision to do the right thing, no matter what, no matter what anybody thinks, the race is won. Now, where do you find examples of things like that? You know, we don't run races like that anymore, do we? Or do we? Back in December, there was a race in Spain, and in the front was a man, Abel Mutai from Kenya, who had placed in bronze. Of course, that's not first place, at the London Olympics. But he was running out ahead, had a good distance on the person who was running second, whose name was Ivan Fernandez Anaya. And it was clear that Mutai was going to win the race, except something happened. He mistakenly thought he had crossed the finish line when he hadn't. The finish line was still some yards ahead. Well, people were shouting at him, trying to tell him, "You haven't finished the race." He had stopped running. "You haven't finished the race," but he couldn't speak Spanish. He didn't know what they were saying. This was Anaya's chance. He was going to be able to pass by and finish the race in front of someone who had placed at the Olympics. But he didn't do that. He came up to the Kenyan runner, showed him where the finish line was, and accompanied him to the finish line with the Kenyan runner crossing first. Now, who in the world would do something like that? After all, the goal is to win, isn't it? It's to be first, isn't it? That's the only thing we honor, isn't it? When they interviewed him, he said, "As soon as I saw him stop running, I knew I wasn't going to pass him." I would suggest to you that Anaya won that race. It doesn't matter where he came in. He won that race because the minute he decided to do the right thing, no matter what his coach thought, no matter what his fans thought, no matter what his family thought, he had won, at least according to Hebrews. Also, fairly recently, there's a young man named Cameron Lyle who was a shot putter. Is that what you call people who do shot put? Are they shot putters? I don't know. Not very educated in that area. Anyway, he had worked for 8 years. He was a fine college athlete and was coming up to the event that would make his reputation. I mean, it would make his career in his sport. Now, about a year or so before, they had come by and swabbed the whole team to see if there might be the possibility that they would be a match for a bone marrow transplant. There was about a 1 in 5 million chance that anybody would even slightly match. As it turns out, Cameron Lyle had a 100% match with a man who was dying. The problem is he was dying so quickly that the bone marrow transplant had to take place immediately, just a couple of weeks before this big event that Lyle had been training for 8 years. After the bone marrow transplant, Lyle would not be able to pick up more than 20 pounds for a period of 6 to 8 weeks, which means if he chose to do this, he had just given up his career as an athlete. He chose to give the man the bone marrow. Now, why would you do that? Why would anybody do that? Well, when they interviewed him, he said, "Hey, I got to save somebody's life." Saving somebody's life more important than being a winner at athletics in your field. I think he had already won the gold. I think he had already won the event called life when he decided he was going to do the right thing no matter what anybody thought. And it can happen to any of us. It happens every day. In your business, when you decide to do the right thing, even though your bosses tell you it's going to save them money or make more money if you do the wrong thing and you refuse to do that, you've won the race. When an elected official chooses to vote in favor of the common good rather than the specific interests that have given so much money to that person's campaign, they've won the race. Oh, they might lose the election. Yeah. But they've won the race. Because you see, there are two races going on here. One is the rat race. And in the rat race, coming in first is all that counts. Beating everybody else is all that counts. But then there's the race described in Hebrews, in which if you finish the race with integrity, you've won. And so the letter was written to say, hang on, endure. Don't let anything lure you off the track. Don't let anything distract you from doing the thing God has called you to do. Because if you do it faithfully, you've won the race. And you don't have to wait for death to be the finish line. As soon as we decide we're going to do the right thing no matter what, we've won. And each and every one of us has the power to do that with God's help. Thanks be to God.